Growing up in a working-class Brooklyn family where money was perpetually tight, Bernie Sanders developed an intimate understanding of economic insecurity that would become the foundation of his political identity. When he impulsively volunteered as a Liberty Union Party candidate in Vermont in 1971, no one could have predicted this outsider would eventually become America's longest-serving independent in Congress and a presidential contender who would fundamentally reshape American political discourse. What makes Sanders truly extraordinary isn't just his longevity, but his unwavering consistency. While most politicians shift positions with the political winds, Sanders has maintained the same core message for decades. America's economic and political systems are rigged to benefit the wealthy few at the expense of working people. His journey from political outsider to influential insider reveals how persistence, principle, and grassroots organizing can challenge entrenched power structures and expand what's politically possible in America. When Sanders announced his candidacy for mayor of Burlington in 1981, the political establishment dismissed him entirely. But Sanders recognized his previous electoral support had been strongest in Burlington's working-class neighborhoods. He abandoned his previous educational campaigns and instead knocked on countless doors, listening to concerns about housing, neglected infrastructure, and inequitable municipal services. His straightforward message promised to open City Hall to everyone, especially those previously excluded from decision-making. The campaign pivoted when the Burlington Patrolmen's Association endorsed him, a leftist, anti-Vietnam War activist gaining support from law enforcement because he promised to listen to officers and negotiate fairly with their union. After winning by just 10 votes, Sanders faced immediate obstruction. With only 2 supporters on a 13-member city council, the establishment blocked his appointees and rejected his initiatives. Sanders countered by creating citizen task forces that evolved into mayor's councils, essentially building a parallel government structure while organizing a political coalition to challenge his opponents in the next election. Despite fierce opposition, Sanders delivered results through pragmatic innovation. He instituted competitive bidding for city insurance policies, saving taxpayers money while proving that being radical meant running cost-effective government. He launched Little League programs in poor neighborhoods, citywide tree planting, then waterfront concerts. After recruiting candidates for each ward, his progressive coalition gained enough seats to force the establishment to negotiate. With this breakthrough, Sanders' administration transformed Burlington. For 7 straight years, they maintained property taxes while implementing more progressive taxation. The Burlington Women's Council pioneered domestic violence legislation and programs helping women enter male-dominated trades. The Youth Office created child care centers, after-school programs, and initiatives connecting young people with elderly residents. Sanders never neglected basics, expanding police staffing, improving officer wages, upgrading fire equipment, and repaving streets. His administration transformed the waterfront with public parks and a 9-mile bike path instead of luxury condominiums. They created America's first community land trust for affordable housing and prevented hundreds of subsidized apartments from becoming expensive condos. The key to success? Sanders and his team simply outworked their opponents, doubling voter participation from 7,000 in 1979 to over 13,000 by 1983. After 8 successful years as mayor, Sanders set his sights on Congress. His 1988 run for Vermont's House seat ended in narrow defeat, but by 1990, the political landscape had shifted. Unlike the friendly 1988 campaign, 1990 became one of Vermont's most bitter contests. Sanders benefited from his Republican opponent's unpopular Medicare-cutting vote, the NRA withdrawing support after the opponent's flip-flop on assault weapons, and growing public dissatisfaction with inequality. On election night, Sanders won 56% to 40%, carrying 13 of 14 counties, becoming the first independent elected to Congress in 40 years. Victory brought immediate national media attention and unique challenges. As an independent, Sanders negotiated with Democratic leadership to receive committee assignments while maintaining his independent status. His fundraising reflected his principles, rejecting corporate PAC money while accepting support from organizations representing labor, environment, women, seniors, and children's advocates. His average campaign contribution was under $35, while opponents collected numerous $1,000 checks from wealthy donors. As the only independent in Congress, Sanders focused on raising overlooked issues and challenging powerful interests. He introduced legislation to increase the minimum wage to $5.50 with inflation indexing, highlighting that wages had declined 16% over 20 years, with male high school graduates experiencing a 30% drop in entry-level wages. After months of battle, the House passed minimum wage legislation in 1996, with 160 Republicans changing positions to avoid voter backlash. Sanders achieved another victory when he discovered Lockheed Martin had fired 17,000 workers while paying executives $91 million in bonuses, $31 million from Pentagon restructuring costs. His amendment to block this taxpayer-funded practice passed with unexpected bipartisan support, as no one wanted to defend using public money to reward job elimination. Sanders then formed an unlikely alliance with conservative Republican Chris Smith, whose district lost 3,000 jobs to a Lockheed Martin plant closure, creating the Smith-Sanders Amendment to end these incentives. When Republicans took control of the House in 1994 under Newt Gingrich, most Democrats were paralyzed, while Sanders immediately mobilized against the Contract with America, recognizing it as an assault on working people benefiting the wealthy. His approach combined intellectual exposure of the contract's true nature with political organization of public opposition. Sanders utilized press conferences and C-SPAN speeches to educate Americans about the contract's Medicare cuts, student loan reductions, environmental rollbacks, and tax breaks for the wealthy. His office made this their primary Vermont focus, holding 25 town meetings and organizing 6 major conferences that attracted thousands. When Republicans shut down the government in winter 1995, unable to override Clinton's vetoes, they exposed their extremism and public support for their agenda collapsed. By 2014, Sanders was contemplating a presidential run, ultimately seeking the Democratic nomination despite never joining the party. His vision transcended electoral politics. When I talk about a political revolution, what I am referring to is the need to do more than just win the next election. It's about creating a situation where we are involving millions of people in the process who are not now involved. Sanders approached this ambitious vision with the confidence of someone who had already achieved the impossible in Burlington. His campaign addressed America's core problems: wealth inequality, the richest 1% owned 42% of national wealth, more than the bottom 90% combined, declining wages, 80% of American families experience stagnant or falling income over 20 years, and eroding democracy. Less than half of eligible voters participated in the 1996 presidential election. Sanders' compelling story isn't merely about one man's unlikely rise. It demonstrates how consistent principles, grassroots organizing, and moral clarity can transform political possibilities. From a narrow mayoral victory to presidential contender who shifted national conversations on healthcare, education, and economic justice, Sanders proved outsiders can win and political boundaries can expand. His journey reminds us that democracy thrives when ordinary people get involved, believe their voices matter, and find leaders who truly represent their interests rather than those of the powerful few.